morning, I'm JC, I'm representing Mr. Rowe. Jason Rowe pled guilty to possession of more than 50 grams of crack cocaine. At the change of plea, the trial judge asked him, did you possess more than 50 grams of crack cocaine? And he said yes. The judge went on to accept the plea. Ultimately, he was sentenced to a 10-year mandatory minimum, which is the sentence required by statute for possession with intent to distribute more than 50 grams of crack cocaine. The problem is, Jason Rowe was wrong. Jason Rowe was wrong. The government knew he was wrong.
He's wrong.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
He knows wrong.
We know he's wrong, Your Honor, because the laboratory report, which is attached to my motion for a further evidentiary hearing, shows that the drug that was distributed was cocaine. It was not cocaine-based. It was crack cocaine, but it was listed merely as cocaine. Now, this court's seen, I'm sure, a number of these laboratory reports as part of evidence in case. The term cocaine, cocaine hydrochloride, cocaine powder are used interchangeably. The term cocaine base, the term crack cocaine are used interchangeably.
You mean the labs make that distinction? Anyway, you ought to know what he's distributing, for goodness sake.
No, there are two different kinds of facts. The first kind of fact is what a person does. If I were to give you, for instance, a bill and tell you that it was a counterfeit bill, and you were
just showed me an automobile, wouldn't it be very plausible if you came back and said, oh, I thought it was a bicycle? That's what you're saying here. This person is a drug dealer. And he knows whether he's selling crack, marijuana, heroin, or what have you.
He knows, Your Honor, that he's selling a white lumpy substance. And that's what the evidence showed in the laboratory report, a white lumpy substance. Now, the guidelines themselves define...
What about his customers? Customers want crack, and there are different prices for crack and powder, right?
That's correct, Your Honor, but there's no evidence as to any...
It doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't make any common sense.
It makes sense, Your Honor, in the fact that this was something that was packaged for distribution. It's a white lumpy substance. The guidelines themselves describe crack cocaine as a beige, rock-like substance. Whether the drug is cocaine powder, lumps of cocaine, or cocaine base makes a tremendous difference.
Oh, I know that. It makes a difference to the customers also and to the seller.
I think, Your Honor, that if Mr. Rowe had gone out and sold cocaine under the guise that he was selling powder, his customers would have come back and certainly taken more swift justice than occurred by going through the truth report. But that's not the issue in this case. The issue in this case is, was there cocaine or was there cocaine base on his person on that date? And he's not a chemist. There's no evidence that he's a chemist. He may be a drug dealer. But a chemist
may be a drug dealer.
He is a drug dealer. Now, he stood up in court. He said, I distributed a controlled substance. There's no question about the fact that he possessed with intent to distribute a controlled substance. The issue is, was that controlled substance one that warranted and required a mandatory minimum because it was cocaine-based? And clearly, the laboratory report said that this is simply cocaine. And the prosecutor
didn't. They didn't say it was simply cocaine. They just said it was cocaine.
They said it was cocaine. That's correct.
They didn't think the next step was that it was crack.
That's correct.
But crack is cocaine.
And that's why the district court should have granted an evidentiary hearing. Crack is a form of cocaine. Crack is cocaine.
The report was accurate insofar as it went.
There is a difference between cocaine.
I understand that, but the report was accurate as far as it went. You could not have crack unless it was crack cocaine.
You could not have crack unless it was cocaine based.
Right.
Cocaine based is
so
not
cocaine.
So
you see crack, you can say it contains cocaine. Right?
That's correct.
Okay.
But the evidence...
I understand what your argument is, that the crack cocaine is treated differently than cocaine just straight base. So if the lab report had taken the next step and said, not only is it cocaine, but it's crack cocaine, you lose. What the court relied on was your client's taking the position, yes, it was crack cocaine. And the position generally taken was that he ought to know what the hell it is he's selling, even if the lab report hasn't taken the next step forward to analyze it. Written into the analytical report that it was crack cocaine.
And that's why it's so important, Your Honor, that he never saw the report from the lab. His attorney
if
had...
He had known that. He would have said, no, I didn't say crack cocaine, ha-ha.
Had he known that, his attorney at least could have had that tested to determine whether it was cocaine hydrochloride or whether it was...
Well, that tested of your client says, yeah, it was crack cocaine. Why is he going to know all that about it?
Because there is a significant difference in the price of that, and there is...
I'm talking about what happens afterwards. You see, as a matter of practical fact, your client tells you that I was distributing crack cocaine. So that's what he's charged with, and the judge asks him, are you distributing crack cocaine? Yes, well, all I do is have the lab report to take the next step forward.
And the analogy I would draw is if I take a bill believing it's a counterfeit bill to the local convenience and attempt to pass it, I have not passed a counterfeit bill. I may believe I can't pass a counterfeit bill. And that's why I say there's a difference between the fact of what somebody does.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Rowe admitted what he did. He distributed a controlled substance and what something is. And in this case, his knowledge about what something is isn't necessarily true any more than my knowledge of what it is.
Would you send this person into the court to determine what he says is crack cocaine? I'll take your word for it.
I would say that, Your Honor, if his attorney and if the government did not have a report that didn't disclose that it was in fact crack cocaine.
But we didn't take that action up for it. They didn't disclose it wasn't crack cocaine. They just said it was cocaine.
And at an evidentiary hearing, I would expect that the evidence would show that the term cocaine is normally used for cocaine hydrochloride and not for cocaine base. I've seen hundreds of laboratory reports out of the bag. That's what I would expect the evidence to be. That's why the judge should have granted an evidentiary hearing.
I understand your point. Okay, thank you, Mr. Steele.
Thank you,
Mr. Bacon.
May it please the court. The government submits the court was entitled to rely at sentencing on the evidence before it, which was the defendant's statements under oath as a drug dealer that he was dealing crack cocaine. The lab report doesn't dispute that. The lab report simply says it was cocaine. It was a state police report lab report. The state police lab does not differentiate cocaine or cocaine hydrochloride.
There's no difference in Indiana state law between the two.
Correct, Your Honor. And so this Indiana state police lab did not differentiate between cocaine hydrochloride powder and cocaine base in lump form done by baking soda, which would be crack. In the posture this came to the court late and the issues already decided on the eve of the hearing, the court didn't abuse its discretion in not reaching that issue. It was first raised the eve of the evidentiary hearing. The magistrate just went ahead with the one issue, the sole issue set for evidentiary hearing, whether or not his counsel had been instructed to take an appeal and resolve that issue. Counsel then filed objections to the report and recommendation of the magistrate and tied with it a motion to for additional evidentiary hearing. So at this late date, with a 2055 petition that already had been amended three times in the government's response, the court's order on that, an evidentiary hearing on the one loose end, the court certainly didn't abuse its discretion in not getting back into this issue where the defendant admitted under oath that he had dealt with crack. We'd ask that the judgment be affirmed.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Baker. Mr. Stevens, do you have anything for me?
Yes, Your Honor. The government relies on the fact that this claim was raised on the eve of the evidentiary hearing. In fact, the original petition, docket number 35, Mr. Rose raised the issue that there was no proof of the plea or sentencing that the substance was crack. He received ineffective assistance of counsel and that the plea of guilty was invalid and that there was no factual basis.
Docket number 37, he amended his claim with the court's permission to raise the claim of ineffective assistance for failure to object to the misapplication of the guidelines and not challenging the plea, based on the fact that the substance was not crack cocaine. This was not a new issue. The record does not conclusively demonstrate that Mr. Rowe is not entitled to relief. The trial judge should have granted an evidentiary hearing. I don't know at that evidentiary hearing what the state lab procedures would turn out to be, but at least the trial judge should have allowed that question to be explored.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Stevenson. You were appointed, were you not?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, quite thanks you for your vigorous efforts on that.